It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of Genesis, chapter 3, we're going to begin actually with chapter 2, and we're going to read the 24th, 25th verse. It's the very last two verses of chapter 2, and then we're going to begin reading with chapter 3 and read down through the 11th verse. While you're looking that up in your Bible so that you can follow along, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Let's begin now with prayer after we've read the word. Father, thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to study this word together with these folks. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us as we look through your word, that every word we'll understand. We will understand the pictures that you have painted for us in your precious word. As you show us the Lord Jesus, you show us the need of salvation, you show us why what has happened. And right here in Genesis chapter 3, we know why that no one studies the Old Testament, because, Father, they don't want to hear about the sin that they were born into. And we find right here with Adam and Eve, when we've read this verse of Scripture, that what has happened, the sixth verse of chapter 3 of Genesis. Father, guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. We want to know only your way and will for our lives. It is your living word, and so each time that we study it, Lord, I don't know how often, how many times that I have read these verses of Scripture, and yet each time you speak to my heart, and you grow me, you show me your way and will, and I ask that that never end, Lord, that you will continue to do so, and that I listen carefully to your way and will. Now, guide and lead us, Lord, as we enjoy this, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we have looked the last time we were together, two times ago, I guess, I left you with some questions that we were going to take care of. Last week we looked at one of them, and that was, where did the devil come from? We're going to look, continue to look at these scripture verses concerning why the serpent, why did the devil choose to use the serpent, and then why did the serpent choose to go after Eve instead of Adam. And so as the serpent was Satan driven. We were together last time while we looked at several verses of Scripture. We looked at Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 4 through 17. We looked through Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15. We looked at Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5. And then we went to Revelation 13, 6 through 8. And we even went to Revelation chapter 20. Now, if you was able to join us during that time, last time we were together, why, I hope that you looked those verses of Scripture up, and I will give them to you quickly again in case you didn't get the chance to write them down. Isaiah 14, 4 through 17, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15, Ezekiel 1, verse 5, Revelation chapter 13, verses 6 through 8, and then we also made reference to Revelation chapter 20. And so that's concerning this the Satan, fallen angel. We spent some time talking about, and I just want to kind of review just a minute here, that the fellowship that was gone, the Satan, Lucifer, had perfect fellowship with God and enjoyed the fellowship. He was a servant, a useful servant of God. But he decided that he needed to put himself equal with God, and when he did, why, he placed himself. Pride's the only thing that can do that. Pride is the fall of man. And no, this fallen angel now lost all fellowship with God. Satan was alone, and except for those that followed him, the many other angels that followed him, Satan was of a very, very high level, if not the highest, as far as his position with God, and yet he wanted more, and oftentimes we do the same thing and put ourselves above God. But here we find that the only ones that was around was himself and the fallen angels. He had no fellowship with God. There was no communion with the good angels. He hated God and all that he has created. And so Satan sought out to destroy just that. And so we find now that as we come to the Garden of Eden, we've looked at the creation of the world and the universe. We have looked at the creation of all the animals and the plant life that we have here upon earth. We looked at the creation of man and then the creation of woman. Now, Satan looks down upon the man and the woman, and the man and woman here, created he man in his own image, the 27th verse of chapter 1 says. In the image of God created he him. And so, as Satan, being a fallen angel, not listening to God's word, not being obedient to that, but as having a choice, he chose to disobey God, desired to be higher than the stars, higher than the throne of God, in other words, above God, and he was cast out, separated eternally. Satan, as a fallen angel, and no angel, there is no means of redemption for them. That is the purpose for the lake of fire, is for the devil and his angels, those that followed him. Now, there in the lake of fire, according to the book of Revelation, you will find that each and every person that comes to a place and time and rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, does not ever come by faith to the Lord Jesus, will also find their place of residence in the lake of fire with Satan and his group. And so it was created, made for Satan. But there will be those that have rejected, people that have rejected Jesus Christ. And by you not coming by faith, you have rejected. And so your home will be the lake of fire from the time you die and leave this earth and go into eternity. That is your place of eternity. The fallen, those that have not come by faith to Jesus Christ, will go into a place called the place of torment. You will remain there till the end. At the end, then you will come before the Lord Jesus Christ, the great judge, and he will place the final condemnation upon you and put you in your eternal home, which is the lake of fire. Those of us that have come by faith to Jesus Christ will enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus, be in the home in heaven with Him eternally. We will enjoy the thousand-year millennium. There's so many things that's going to take place with ourselves in the presence of the Lord Jesus because we've made a decision to come by faith to Him and be saved. Satan looks at this man and this woman that God has created in His own image, and he set out to destroy him. And he decided to do that as he wants fellowship. Misery wants fellowship, don't they? They want people together. And if somebody is miserable today, why, it seems as though that they do everything to bring others to that same level of misery. Well, Satan was the same way. He was fallen. He had no fellowship with God. He had no fellowship with the good angels. He had no fellowship with anyone. And so he sought out, because at this point in time, man and woman were both perfect, perfectly created, and they were perfect. He set out to destroy that perfection, to destroy the great love that Adam and Eve had for God, the great love that Adam and Eve had for each other. He hated the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, that he hated the garden. He hated everything that they had. Something that he will never have again. Perfect, sweet harmony with God and with each other. He didn't have that. And in his misery, he decides to search out and get somebody to join him. He saw this joy and this happiness that he could never have. He saw a desire that Adam had to please Eve. All this was set before him. And he wanted to destroy Adam and Eve. We have looked at the fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan. And then we come to the first verse of chapter 3, and it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The second question was, why the serpent? Why didn't the devil use something else to bring him? Now, to begin with, you'll always find through the scripture that the devil needs a body. The devil is a spirit, and the devil has to go in and possess a body of some sort or another in order to have his power and his strength, to have his pleasure. Is that he needs to have a body. He has no body. Now, Adam and Eve were perfect, and so as today, anyone that has not come by faith to Jesus Christ, the devil or his demons can possess them, can go right in and possess them. Now, any person that's come by faith to the Lord Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is present in that person's heart, is the devil cannot come in and possess that person. The devil can hound them from the outside, but the devil cannot come in and possess that person. Well, the devil could not come in and possess Adam and Eve in any way, because there was no opportunity there. They had not sinned. They had not. Their life was perfect. And it's hard for me to understand, and I guess maybe it's hard for you to understand how this can be. You know, the wonderful picture here that we have as we begin to look, and each time through the Word of God, has a picture of the Lord Jesus. Some of them are very clear pictures. Others are kind of hazy just a little bit, but there is a picture always, and we're going to look at that here as we look at Adam and Eve and what has taken place. But the serpent. The serpent, what we know of the serpent of this time. Now, today, why we know of this maybe not so ugly in color, but so sneaky and crawls around on his belly and is in the dust and the dirt of the earth always. That's the old snake that we know, the serpent that we know. But the serpent that we have here is much different, and the reason is because this is before God put the curse upon him and upon all of mankind because of this fall, upon all the beautiful colors, upon all the earth. The earth is cursed, and it still is today. The serpent at this time was a very, if not the most intelligent beast, very charming, very beautiful, had everything. And again, when the devil came up, when the serpent came up and spoke to the woman, the woman makes no reference to any thought to him speaking, to the serpent speaking to her. Before the fall, was animals able to communicate with man in that way? Completely. We're not sure. We're not told. But we do know that as the serpent came and spoke to the woman, she didn't give that a thought. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden, was the question that the serpent come up and ask. And we're told here that we know that he was intelligent, he was charming, he was beautiful. So what a better choice to deceive Eve or Adam than to pick the finest, the most intelligent of all the animals. Let's go for the serpent. Let's go for something that is charming, that is very beautiful. You know, today we can be deceived very quickly by people that are that way, by people of intelligence, people that have a charisma to them. They're very smooth talking, people that are very handsome or very beautiful. Those people, as far as this world is concerned, they can accomplish much by their beauty, by their brains, by their charm. The serpent had those same qualities, and those are qualities that the devil looked at and thought, you know, that's who I need. And so you see, as the devil needs a body, he moved into the body of the serpent to do his dirty work. He came underneath this wonderful look, this charming personality, and this one of intelligence. Now, many times today, people are deceived in exactly the same manner. And we get down to verse 6, we'll find that nothing has changed, because the very tools that the serpent used, guided and led by this Satan that possessed him, those things still take us away from the power and the presence of God this very day. And so nothing has changed as far as our willingness to serve the world and to not serve God. That's the reason I believe that the serpent was the one that was chosen, because he was the finest of all. And he come before the woman to make this statement. Now, the second question, or the third question, I guess, the first is where the devil came from. The second was why the serpent. I think it's because he's intelligent, he's charming, and he's beautiful. And that's the reason that the devil used the serpent to approach the woman. Now, why did the devil direct the serpent to speak to the woman? I think if we will look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." I want you to read that, and then let's go down to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. When the command, the single one command, we've got a lot of laws in this country. There's a lot of laws and rules in the Word of God. At this time, there was one, just one single rule, one single command, and that command was that do not eat of the tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not have eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That command, that single command, was given unto Adam. Eve was not created when Adam received those words. Why do I believe that Eve was the one that Satan, through the serpent, approached? Why it was Eve? It was because she did not hear the command, the words directly from God himself. It was hearsay. I am positive that Adam quoted those words clearly unto Eve, as we find in the verses that we've read here in the third chapter, that those words were told. Those words were told correctly and perfectly. Remember, Adam and Eve is perfect. Have you ever, as a child, remember being in a row of children, and the teacher or someone that was having the activity would start a certain phrase, and that phrase, that saying, would begin here, and if it would go through even three or four children or adults alike, but to take it through 8 or 10, when it comes out the other end, that saying is completely and totally different, has none of the same meaning that it started with. Now, how can that be? Well, it's because each one of us, in our inability to listen, add or take away just a little bit from the original saying. And as each do that, then we come to the end and we don't have the original saying at all. Adam was not that way. Adam was perfect. He listened perfectly. He spoke perfectly. He was perfect. So you see, when Eve here looks at what's going on, when she begins to speak back to the serpent, she heard the words. She was told the words by Adam, but not by God. God spoke those words. God spoke those words to Adam. Adam spoke those words to Eve. And now we find that Eve now is talking to the serpent. Why the woman? Because she did not hear the command directly from God, and the devil, Satan, thought that would be an advantage, because it wasn't the direct words, it was from Adam. So we've handed it down one. So it was not direct words, it was hearsay to an amount here, to a little bit. So I think that's the reason that that's taken place. So we have, as much as we know of the devil, Satan, we've looked at why the serpent he took, and the devil uses the same people today. He uses the most intelligent, the ones that have the charisma, the ones that are handsome or beautiful. Those are the ones that he puts before us, before man and woman, to deceive us. And you'll find that many times those that are most intelligent are the ones that pay the least amount of attention to the Word of God, and or change it to whatever they want. They will not take the Word of God for what it says. They have to add to it or take away so it fits them. And so we find that Satan has not stopped using the same tools that he used originally. We find here that, so we have Satan, we have the serpent, and now we've looked, and why I believe that the Word of God is saying that the serpent went for after the woman is because she was told by Adam. Adam was told by the Lord. And so he hoped that that would be a little weakness there as we looked at it. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent put a question before the woman. Now let's listen to what the woman said in verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Very good statement. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, lest ye die. Let's look back at verse 17. For the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Look at what Eve did. And it's the very tool that Satan needs. She didn't take away from the Word of God, but she added to the Word of God. Did that cause a problem to add such something so simple? She said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Did the Lord God say to Adam, don't eat it, don't touch it? Eve added just a little bit to God's word. That's all the devil needs. The devil needs an opening. The devil needs an opportunity. Whether it seems to add to it, to make it better, in other words, the woman in her thinking was that, you know, we're not to eat it, and you know, it'd be better if we didn't even touch it. Some folks can go to the store, whether it be the grocery store, clothing store, the car store, whatever kind of store you want to go to. Some people can go into those stores, look at all the new things and the fancy little gadgets and the beautiful clothes, beautiful cars, everything, and walk back to their old car, or they go into their home and look into the closet with all the old clothes and don't care. But others, if they go to look and they touch it, try it on, drive it, that's just enough that they're hooked. Well, Eve, in her saying this, did not intend to add to God's word. She just thought it'd be better. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Right there. The serpent controlled Satan. Satan controlled serpent. Let me get it straight. Knew that the door was open. How can we keep the devil away from us? Only by the word of God. Be careful of these of great intelligence. These preachers, these teachers, these philosophers that come and have these great words to say, see that they are saying nothing other than the Word of God. If they're adding to it or taking away, and you begin to agree, that's all the devil needs to move you away and out of fellowship, keep you from getting saved. And the devil has set out here. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, why would the serpent come up with such a bold statement? Because the woman has already changed the word of God. She's added to it. Now, many today don't seem to have a problem with adding to the word of God or taking away from the word of God. But that's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Because when you do that, you'll find yourself opening yourself up to Satan's ways, to Satan's will. We need to stay with the Word of God and look to the Word of God only. Please, you know, when you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and people say today, man say today, you don't need to come to Jesus Christ. You don't need to trust Him as your Savior. You know, that you just come to church, join this church, be fine. That's man. You're a sinner, you're lost, you're dying in your sin. Please, today, come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. That's what the Word says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, what are you going to do? about Jesus.